not broken at all. What?
The sound of crabs being unloaded and stacked makes Beschel's boat launch seem deceptively busy on this winter day in Pointe-à-la-Hache, Louisiana. In reality, there are only a couple of boats unloading their catch. This is Neil Beschel, whose family owns the marina.
Oyster fishing every year, season opens in September. We usually have boats from Texas, Mississippi, and our local boats. At any time, point in time, there's a couple of hundred boats here fishing on the state reefs. They were supposed to open in September last year. And when they went to open it, they decided it would push it back to October, and then it was November, and then it was like, we can't open it. Go out there and you dredge, and you're pulling on nothing but dead shells.
Pointe-à-la-Hache is a rural, predominantly African-American community. It sits on the east bank of the Mississippi River, south of New Orleans. The oyster harvest is everything here, especially since a furniture factory shut down about 8 years ago. Other parts of Louisiana have more diversified fishing economies, so a bad oyster season could be balanced out by a good shrimping season. Not so in Pointe-à-la-Hache, where the BP oil spill shut down this year's oyster harvest completely. Byron Enkelade lives in Pointe-à-la-Hache and serves as president of the Louisiana Oystermen's Association.
After Katrina, we lost the courthouse, we lost the prison. We rise or fail on the oyster industry. When you look at this community and what it means to this community and how we congregate at the marina, I mean, it's a way of life. When you look at the social gatherings, senior citizens in particular, they'll come down, they'll get food for their houses. Their husbands are deceased, they're retired from the fishing industry, and on minimum disability. So when you took that substance away from them, their grocery bills are through the ceiling now. They can't go get that 2 or 3 dozen oysters in the evening at the marina, or their kids and their nephews and their brothers or children are not bringing home the seafood that's basically part that makes up majority of their diet.
The BP spill was the latest in a series of difficulties to hit this community. Hurricane Katrina leveled much of Pointe-à-la-Hache. Before that, the Carnarvon freshwater diversion, which was designed to rebuild wetlands, destroyed many of the oyster beds that residents here depended on. Enkelade says it will take significant time and money to recover from these catastrophes. Compensation from BP, he says, does not come close to covering losses from the oil spill. The absence of oyster larvae, or spat, just makes things worse.
Preliminary reports are that we didn't have a good spat take nowhere back in this area. You don't get rehabilitated from the day they give you the money. You have to make the investments. And then you're looking at 2 to 3 years after you make these investments. Now we're looking at 4 years from the time of the oil spill before we could start fishing oysters because of the procrastinating that's going on, not giving the people the money that's needed. We had just invested most of our money. Fishermen are normally broke around April and May. This is when you start making your investments, getting ready for the May season. We had one boat, we had to buy a new motor. So, and we were looking forward to purchasing another one. I had to cancel that contract. Thank God the man didn't sue me. All of those funds was invested because we checked all the oyster beds and stuff, and we knew we had the money there sitting there. It's like money in the bank to us, you know. You hadn't depleted all your funds, and now you're sitting up here, you can't make money. You're dipping into your deep reserves to just feed yourself. Claims process was not enough money to sustain this, and then it's going to cost me $500,000 just to reinvest to get at the starting point, to start off rehabilitation. I got oyster beds out there. I've got 100% mortality on all my oyster beds. They destroyed those oysters. They have to provide the resources and the vehicle for us to get there, and that's money.
Without oysters to harvest, some Pointe-à-la-Hache residents wonder how they'll get on with their lives. Here's Stanley Enkelade, Byron's brother.
It took me 30 years to bed some of these beds we had with oyster. They was fruitful. You know, plenty of oysters. I was monitoring them after Katrina, and I was back on my game. You know, I was looking at 70, 80 sack of oyster a day, working every day, being happy. Now, I'm sitting here worrying about when I make 62, 65 years old, where my Social Security going to come from? Where my next paycheck going to come from? I had to go to the doctor the other day and get sleeping pills. Sometimes I hate to think about it, what it's going to be like. It don't look good. What job going to hire a 50-year-old man? You know, I'm going to work for the parish when I made good money fishing oyster all my life. I wouldn't know where to start, making $300 a week. I think I'd do better off taking a tractor and try to farm some land if that ain't polluted.
As oystering goes, so goes the economy of Point of La Hache. Take, for example, Neil Beschel, whose family owns the boat landing.
After Katrina, we had nothing here. The building you see out here, we just reopened about a year ago. The upstairs part, we're going to make a little restaurant. Now, I have a dock that's falling in a canal. It's 40 years old. My wife is paying the bills. She's taking care of the kids. Right now, if she wasn't working and I wasn't living with my mom, living off of my mom, then I wouldn't be able to do anything. We're going to lose even more because we couldn't open, we couldn't put money into the little sandwich shop upstairs. We couldn't rebuild our boat storage sheds up front. Don't have the money.
Ultimately, though, fishing in Point of La Hache is about more than providing paychecks. It's about sustaining relationships.
I might go out and I might go fishing oyster. In a day's work, I might have a bushel or two bushel of crab. I'll come in, I'll hook the burner up, start barreling them, and the whole neighborhood come and eat. You know what I mean? That's the way we was raised. Our uncle showed us that. We do the same thing with the crawfish now. Crawfish was just starting to come back plentiful here. You know, in every little community, every little village you went in on the highway, one of their uncles or somebody went crawfishing that morning and fed all the kids, everybody. He didn't catch it and brought it to his house, and he ate. When he went out and made a catch, he made a catch for the whole community. And that's the way we was raised.
All the Bayou people know each other, you know, because they traveled by boat. And I remember Rodney and Sherman, he built the boat for me, and he called me up and he said, I got some alligator sauce pecan, come get. I drive all the way from the West Bank, all the way to Golden, it's La Rose, over there on Highway 1, go get me some. Look, that man made some of the best alligator sauce pecan you ever want to eat. and people shared food. It was pride, you know. You had something good that you shared with each other. It was sharing that something that you have in common, a little bit of your culture, your heritage with each other. And it made you feel good, you know. And that's the way you live.
In Point of La Hache, Louisiana, I'm Barry Yeoman.